Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
To Meet the Author on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Denny Griffin. For the next half hour, I'll be your host. And my guest today is Mary Patrick Cavanaugh. Mary's been writing since the age of 8, and her award-winning creative nonfiction has been published in Alligator Juniper Room, Juniper Room of One's Own, San Jose Mercury News, and the San Francisco Chronicle. Her professional writing has appeared in numerous trade journals. Mary is the 2003 recipient of the Nonfiction Award from the Soul Making Literary Competition, sponsored by the American Pen Women, and winner of a 2004 honorable mention. She has been awarded writing fellowships at the David and Julia White Artist Colony, Hedgebrook Women Authoring Change, and Vermont Studio Center. And today we're going to be talking about her first novel, The Family Plot, Love, Death, and Tax Evasion. And Mary, welcome to Meet the Author.
Thank you. Thank you.
And what I'd like to do is tell people we're going to give out any contact information you'd like, such as where to get more information about you and your book in a minute. So if anybody wants to grab a pen or pencil, and be prepared for that. In the meantime, this is, well, I love your sense of humor, okay? I read a lot of serious books, but I also like books I can laugh at, or laugh with, maybe is a better way to put it. So could you tell us a little bit about Family Plot?
Sure. I started writing Family Plots about 10 years ago after a series of family tragedies hit my life. I happened to be in the position where I held the hand of my father-in-law, my husband, and my mother-in-law as they passed over. They all passed away in my arms, and in a pretty short period of time. And each of them, I was very close to all of them, obviously to my husband, but I was very close to my father-in-law and mother-in-law. But each of them was hiding something from the other, and I was also the recipient of all their secrets. They were hiding money, and they were hiding stories. There's a whole bunch of internal family intrigue going on. And so once they'd all died and I was holding, I was literally the inheritor of their estate and secrets, I was having a conversation with my brother. He picked me up to take me away for the weekend because I was completely wiped out by this whole experience. He was going to a wedding, and he said, just get in the car, I'm going to take you. And I was telling him all this, how crazy it was that I was the end of the line for this family, and I had all their secrets, and I was telling him about it. And he goes, well, you know, you've always wanted to write a book. There's your plot line right there. And then, you know, we thought family plots, because they all ended up in the same family cemetery plot. So the book idea was born. I'd always written but really never had a complete narrative, and I had an aha moment there with my brother, and I thought, that's right. And it was really very cathartic for me to be able to write the story after all that loss.
And you say you started about 10 years ago?
My husband died 10 years ago, so it was probably a couple years after that I signed up for an MFA program. I took a great MFA program at the University of San Francisco to more or less structure myself so that I would get the book written. So I probably started writing in earnest about 8 years ago and then finished the book maybe 5 or 6 years later after that, and then spent, you know, then comes the quest for the agent and the publisher and all that.
Yes. Okay, let's take just a second, Marion. Would you give out your website information or any links?
Yes, yes, I'd be delighted to. I think, I don't know how much your readers know about my story, but the title of my book is called Family Plots, Love, Death, and Tax Evasion. However, the title of my website, where you can get in touch with me, is something very different, which will probably segue into how I marketed the book. It's called, my website address is called mydreamisdeadbutimnot.com. mydreamisdeadbutimnot.com. And the reason for that is despite the fact that I got a terrific, hardworking, connected agent and 16 different publishing houses to read my book, I got delightful rejection letters from all of them. And so my dream of landing a mainstream publishing contract was dead, and I was walking through the cemetery one day, and I just couldn't get over the fact that I couldn't have a book launch party in the cemetery that I'd actually written about in the book, because the cemetery was a character. So I thought, damn it, I'm going to have my book launch. I'm going to have my event in the cemetery, because I'm going to bury my dream in a massive funeral and launch my book that way. And I just self-published it. So there's a lot of fun stuff on my website, aside from the fact that you can buy my book, Family Plots. You can also attend my funeral. So, my mother doesn't like me to call it my funeral. She always says my book funeral, but I didn't bury my book. I just buried one dream of how the book might come into people's hands. So yeah, there's funerals, there's YouTubes, there's the book, there's a cemetery of other people's dead dreams. There's a lot of fun stuff on the site.
And I'm looking at the cover of the book as we speak, and I love this in gold here. Awarded 16 rejections from prominent NYC publishers, 2008.
Yep. I was looking at all the stickers, Pulitzer Prize, the Man Booker Prize. I thought, yeah, but what about this prize? Surviving rejection.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I should say, I know that I listened to writers, that a whole bunch of people blogged about this, my particular marketing approach, and people were like, 16 rejections, what a wimp. She gave up after 16 rejections. But I just want to say, but honey, you don't know. It wasn't exactly like that. I had been rejected so many times in my writing career, and just in getting an agent. And for those people who don't know, the publishing industry is just going through an enormous upheaval, and people are losing their jobs. It's much like everything else in the economy and in the New York economy. So my agent, actually after the rejection, suggested to me that I do self-publish. You can do it in a way that looks very professional and take on, you know, my background's in marketing, and I actually had an idea, a hook for how I wanted to publish this book. So short of that, I would have had to go back to the drawing board and find an agent who would want to take it out again. But we really did hit some well-matched publishing houses for my book. And also on the back of the book, Denny, I don't know if you noticed, I used praise from the rejectors as testimonials. Yeah,
that was a great touch.
Yeah, but this is, I left out all the part of the sentence that began with but.
Right. Now, if anybody would like to call in with a question or comment for Mary, you can reach us at 646-478-0982, 646-478-0982. And Mary, what I'd like to do, I want to hit several sections of the writing business today, if we can.
Okay.
And the I look at writing, I made this mistake myself, so I'm talking from my own experience, is when I started writing, I didn't research the business of writing. I had a story I wanted to tell, and I put it down on paper and did my manuscript. I didn't realize that writing the manuscript was only the first step.
Right.
There's a lot more to it. There's the finding a publisher or a publishing option, mm-hmm. and then the marketing and so forth. So there, in my opinion, there's a lot more to the business of writing than just sitting down at your computer, your typewriter, whatever, and getting a manuscript out. So when you completed your manuscript, what did you do then? You found an agent first?
Oh, heavens no. I completed my manuscript, it was like a 600-page, steepy, stinky, steamy pile of, you know, blah, cathartic monstrosity. And I took it to one of my writing teachers, a woman named Adair Lara, who's published a number of books, and she was a columnist in San Francisco. And I said, find the story in there. And she was amazing. So I had written, you know, when you're dealing with your own life, there's just way too much information, and much of it repetitive and unnecessary and boring. And I was aware of that. I also knew I had a very compelling story to tell. So I took it to her, and so that was really the first of what became, I would say, four major overhauls to get my manuscript into. The business of writing now is such that that the publishing houses don't take books that they require a lot of editing. What they want is almost a copy edited perfect manuscript. So Adair took the first run through and really informed me my book was, you know, where my book ended, which was 200 pages before I ended the writing. Mm-hmm. And so then I had one more professional review done before I shopped for an agent. So there was two rewrites before I even got an agent. And then when my agent picked it up, she just really loved it and said she loved it and she wanted to sell this book and would like me to edit it. To get a professional editor, and I'm thinking, oh, for the love of God, I just did that twice. God, thank God I didn't send it to her the way it was before. And so we went ahead and hired a professional editor and trimmed it and tightened it and in a much more refined way, you know, sentence by sentence. And then we pitched it to the first eight and got rejected and got some feedback, and then she wanted one more edit. And at that point, the editor and I both felt that the book was strong. I mean, the editor pinched a few things out, but it just got to the point, if it's not going to sell, then there's the relationship. Whatever it is that the acquisition editors are looking for them to give a really strong, powerful yes and go to bat for you, it just wasn't there because... and plus, there was a lot of fear, I think, in choosing a first-time author. You know, you're taking a risk and at a risky time, and
right.
People are losing their jobs, and they, you know, it's people are scared in every industry, but that one's certainly one that we're hearing a lot about.
You mentioned that in some people's opinions, 16 rejections is just the tip of the iceberg. After 16, though, you decided to go with the self-publishing rather than continue to get a drawer full or whatever, continue the query submission route. And that was something that you said that you did in consultation with your agent, and it was a mutual agreement that was the way to go?
Yeah, we had when she suggested it, again, I tend to, you know, I was thinking there was, I did hold this vision of how I wanted the book launched. And so on my website, I have this, my dream is dead, but I'm not.com. My tagline for it is transforming life's crap into compost, one plot at a time. And I really thought, well, you know, this is just one of those situations. It's crap. It's not what I wanted. Kind of the story of my life. It feels like, you know, all the great goals I've set for myself haven't necessarily manifested the way I wanted, but I've turned them into compost in a way that I've lived a pretty fun life, a pretty satisfied life, and an accomplished life in a way I want to. So I thought, I'm just going to launch it. You know, some people would put that book in their top drawer. I heard also from some bloggers, you know, Every novelist has the first one in the top drawer, you know. So why don't you just put it in the drawer and move on like a real writer? And I thought, I don't want to. I didn't spend 7 years writing this story to put it in the top drawer. Yeah, going around once? No. You don't read it if you don't want to, but if I can self-publish it and have it look great for somewhere between $1,200 and $1,400 through one of these print-on-demand companies, and I sell it through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iUniverse, you know, why the hell would I bury my book before it's even had a chance to live?
Absolutely. So. That finding a publisher, now when you decided to go with the self-publishing route, how tough was it to find a self-publishing service provider that you were satisfied with? Did you have to do a lot of checking and a lot of research on that?
I think that would probably... be determined by someone's personality, because there's a lot out there, and there's but I knew that in my mind I had to bury this part of my life before the end of 2008. I knew I was going to hold this major funeral event at a mortuary in Oakland, beautiful place in Oakland, who they volunteered to give me their chapel, and that was in December. And I made the decision to self-publish and launch the book at the funeral in August. So I didn't have a lot of time. So I settled very quickly on iUniverse, which does a decent job. They give you a percentage of the sales. However, there were some other ones. And because the book industry is changing now, Even Amazon, I think, has, is it Author House? Or there's a lot of the book businesses are spinning off these self-publishing divisions, and I would not be a good consultant for this because I essentially just settled and, you know, I had to go, On Your Mark, It Said Go, and I chose iUniverse, and it's been fine. I can't complain about them, and I can't, you know, I don't feel like standing on the mountaintop and singing their praises either. Just was, it was a fine experience, and I know there's a number of them out there.
Yeah, and you know, I think at one time, I think this is improving, but there was a stigma attached to self-publishing. If you were self-published, some people looked at you like you weren't quite up to speed. You know, you were a little below what they were looking for, and it was very tough to get bookstores to stock your book and so on and so forth. I think that's improved, and I also think that with the number of self-publishing options, the bottom line rests with the author. Now, you had your book edited multiple times, and you produced, obviously, a quality product. And unfortunately, I think there have been and probably still are some people who don't do that. They'll get something down on paper and proofread it once themselves or something and submit it.
Sure.
And get it out there, which is a shame because those types of authors, I think, harm the rest of us who go with self-publishing route as far as keeping that little bit of doubt, you know, in the marketplace about the quality of self-published books.
Right, right.
But there are a lot of good self-publishers out there and a lot of good self-published books. And in my opinion, I've read some self-published books that I think are better than through the traditional publishers. I don't know what your experience has been, but that's what I believe.
Oh, sure, you always hear a story, or sometimes you'll pick up a book, and sometimes that's inspired me. I'll pick up a book at the bookstore and read it and go, oh, yeah, I can write a book. And also this idea that self-publishing is purely vanity press, I've seen ridiculous things come out of self-publishing. And I just decided to approach it as I'm a businesswoman, and I'm going to just approach it like a business and get my book out there. But I'm well aware that there's all kinds of opinions about it. But what I do appreciate is some of the independent bookstores are enormously supportive of self-published authors. Now, they'll want to read your book and make sure the quality of what they're putting in their store meets their standards. But I've just been so touched. You know, my hometown in La Jolla, they're featuring me in my book and even putting me on a bus as entertainment up to the LA Times Book Festival. And in my hometown, Oakland, there's a wonderful bookstore called A Great Good Place for Books, and she's constantly featuring local authors and self-published authors, and just takes the books on commission. And she's having me do a reading, and I'm going to show the funeral there on March 25th. And I have met another self-published author in Oakland whose book is a bestseller in that store. So I think, you know, times are changing. I don't know how it's all going to shake out in the end. You know, you're going to get every level of quality in the self-published world, but it's even for those, I've had friends who've been published by some of, you know, by Random House, and they get selected to be the one that's marketed. But there's plenty of people whose books get published through the traditional publishing houses, and then they get no marketing budget. And then they're doing exactly what I'm doing, which is, you know, 24-hour day hustle. And
yes.
So, and it's not, yeah, good, they got the publisher, but they don't have the support. So you're pimping your product constantly, and at some point you're like, oh, my God, you know, what I won't do for the $2.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
the independent bookstores, you mentioned that, and I know, I don't know what your experience has been, but thank God for the indies, because in my experience, dealing with the chains, with a community relations manager rather than an owner. I won't even mention the chain, but one of the big chains. When I first got my manuscript, and I self-published, in fact, my first three books, I think it was, and I started learning a little bit then about what, you know, the marketplace and so forth, stuff I hadn't bothered to check beforehand. But what they did, if they were going to have a self-published POD author, they weren't going to have one. They would have an author's night for all of us. You know? And there was you didn't qualify to have your own event. You always had to share with someone else. And then there was a 70-30 or 60-40 split, you know, because they wouldn't order the book. You'd have to bring your own supply, and then they'd run it through their cash register at a pretty stiff commission for themselves. And the independents were so much easier to work with, in my opinion. First, they treated you like you're describing about the store, that, you know, featuring self-published authors and featuring local authors, and like you're somebody and a legitimate author instead of, you know, the subnormal. And
God, you know, it's making me think, you hear all these jokes now that Obama's president, that something so-and-so's the new black, but now I'm thinking self-published authors are the new black. You know, you just want to be treated equally and with respect, and you find that at the independent bookstores, and they really appreciate us, and we shall overcome someday, I tell you.
Absolutely.
We shall.
I want to do some marketing discussion, but before that, I'd like to jump back to when you were writing your book. Now, this was based on some of your own experiences.
Yes.
And was that difficult for you, or was it, how did you decide what to say, what not to say, what to switch, how did you do it?
Yeah, okay. First of all, to give your audience just an overview, we pitched the book as a young single mother and private investigator falls in love with a criminal attorney who turns out is committing a few crimes of his own. And essentially, I happened to have been a young single mother who was a private investigator, and I got together with my husband who was a criminal attorney and blah, blah, blah. So I wrote the story just pretty much straight out of my life. When my husband was dying, there were so many financial shenanigans going on in my household that I did not understand, but I would stumble upon unexplained cash. And I mean, from the beginning to the end of our marriage, there were things like me discovering a huge tax liability he had, and there was a fake wedding that resulted from that. And yet, if you knew us and met us, I was the PTA president, and he was the most wonderful daddy in the world. He was always, you know, taking the kids to soccer or the park or doing all the good homie stuff, so you never would have known it. So I wrote the story probably as just an exploration of, you know, what we think somebody is versus what's going on inside their lives. So in terms of picking and choosing what to include, I'd say the first go-around I included everything, way too much, and including to the point I have a very big and charismatic and crazy Irish Catholic family, so there were a lot of stories about them in there. And by the time I did the rewrite, I trimmed my six siblings down to one brother and one sister, and, you know, pruned out characters. I said conflated characters, like a stepmother, an aunt, a therapist, all became my mother's voice. And so there was ways I could simplify the story, which is really a story about a marriage and the coming together in love and finding forgiveness and under very trying and some colorful times. So I ended up doing a lot of pruning after the first draft, but I didn't want to inhibit myself and just getting it down, because for me, writing, you know, you hear these people who say, I woke up in the morning, God told me the story, I spent 3 days writing, I got an agent, a publisher, and a $2 million contract. And, you know, for me, it just, that writing was work, and I'm a writer. I write to understand things, and so but I do much prefer editing and rewriting than getting the first draft out. So after I spent 4 years getting that first draft out, that's when the pruning and the tightening and the really enhancing the storyline and building momentum happened.
Now, so what you were able to do was do, as you call it, the pruning without really giving up the points you wanted to make. You were able to include what you wanted to say and still cut it down to some degree.
And also realizing what points were red herrings or irrelevant or me needing to rant and process something that's totally unnecessary to the story. really it is when you're, I mean, I so look forward to writing the next book and not having it being based on my life, and just let it come from inspiration so I don't have to examine everything to the point of OCD concerns. You know, it's like how much staring at your own navel can you do? And so much of it got chucked anyway. It just didn't matter for the story. It just wasn't something the reader would be interested in. And I knew there was a story there.
Now, did you, when you were doing the manuscript, did you join a writer's group or anything, like a critique group, or did you just do it everything?
I did the MFA program, which was kind of absolutely, we did writer workshops. And then after that, I was always in a writer's group. I'm still in a writing group. I love them. I think it's great to get feedback.
And do you think, as I do perhaps, that writers' groups, for the most part, are relatively inexpensive in the great scheme of things as far as your annual dues, if it's a dues-paying group. And you can get an awful lot of help, guidance, support, and networking and so forth, and learn from the people who have been there, done that. And then at some point, if you stay in after you've been published or maybe you've published multiple times, then you can be the one given the helping hand. Do you agree with that philosophy?
I think writers groups, like any other group, have different cultures. And I've been in some that are simply where people just tell each other how wonderful they are just to keep each other writing and encouraging that. And I've been to some more practical ones where they're very critical. They'll take on tones and cultures. But I think people just, I've never been to one where it's cost money. I generally have signed up for writers groups that have spun out of classes that have cost money and so forth. I just think they're enormously helpful to keep you writing because generally you're given a deadline for me. But in my experience, when you get dead serious about really wanting to look at your manuscript, that you need, it's worth hiring a professional to review your manuscript, and I mean a really checked out professional who can read it from start to finish and give you some solid feedback. Someone, you know, you get referred to by other writers who've used this person and so forth. But to me, the support, the community, the focus that you get from just joining and being a part of writers groups are fantastic. And this is a place that independent booksellers who are smart, like the one in Oakland, I think, a great good place for books, really encourages reading and writing groups to hang out at their store because they're like an incubator for these groups, and then the groups come back and they go to the readings and they buy the books, and it's just a wonderful community. So plugging into the writers groups is just a great way to be in community with other writers.
Now, I don't know where our time went to, but we're losing it rapidly here, and I wanted to get into marketing for a few minutes. Do you want to talk about some marketing?
Sure.
Okay, now, you developed a very unique plan for marketing, and do you agree with me that marketing is probably equally as important as the other steps? Like, for example, it's as important as writing the manuscript, because if nobody knows about your book, if nobody reads it, no matter what the quality is, it really doesn't mean anything if nobody's aware that it's out there.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. Also, I have a background in marketing, too. I was going to say marketing is important if you actually want people to read your book. And even if they hear it, like a lot of people have heard of me in the book because of the crazy funeral I had, but that doesn't necessarily get them to take the next step and buy and read the book. So that's why I am constantly promoting and saying, buy my book. Buy my book, people. I'm just saying that again because I'm marketing right now. But, yeah, absolutely, you've got to market. And I think the days are over. Boy, the days are just over where people can't handle that part of their life. And I'm not just talking writers here. I think in this economy, you used to be able to get a job and do your little job and let the other people handle the other job. But we're marketers now. We've got to just keep ourselves in circulation. We have to keep our products in circulation. We have to have the courage to promote ourselves and not, you know, and not feel badly about that. It's really, really important no matter what we're doing.
And Mary, what I found too, and I this surprised me, and it may surprise others, is that even your big houses today, unless you're really something special, perhaps you have already have the name recognition as a politician or a sports figure or something, that they don't send you out. They don't send everybody out on a national book tour. All their authors. I mean, they expect the author to get out there, as you say, and hustle.
Yeah, and sometimes spend your advance money, if there's even advance money anymore. A lot of houses are moving away from that, on hiring a PR person to help you do that. So, you know, it's just, and it can be really fun. I think sometimes we dread it. But if we go into it with some guidance and just know that that's part of the program as an author, that the whole promoting and getting your name out there, is just the, you know, it's just the other side of the spectrum.
Mary, I hate to say this, but we've just been cut off from our live stream. What we're saying now will be in the archived edition online. Let me just close with asking, do you have another project in the works now? Are you working on a second book?
Yes, I am. And do I have time to pitch it, or are we off air?
Yeah, no, go ahead, because the people that listen to this later will get the whole story.
Okay, great, because I am, when you go to my website, mydreamisdeadbutimnot.com, you can sign up for the mailing list, and my next work is turning life's crap into compost, and I'm focusing on people and stories and events and politics and companies, everyone who can transform crap into compost, because I'm so tired of the depressing news, and I've had to do it in my life, and I really just want to focus on how people turn things around. So that's my new deal, and in fact, I'm starting a crap into compost daily cyber antidepressant, where I send people a daily dose of a story or a YouTube or a joke or something that really highlights how someone's turned crap into compost in their life. I'm doing that to keep my own spirits up. Yeah. So.
Well, listen, Mary, what I'd like you to do, if you would, why don't you kind of keep in touch, and when the new book's ready and stuff, like, have you back on again.
I'd love that.
Really,
I'd love
really
that.
Really enjoy to talk with.
Well, get on my website and sign up for my Crap to Compost feed, too, and then we'll may give you something to smile at in the morning.
I will do that. And
okay.
Really, I want to thank you again for being on. It's really been a pleasure talking with you, and I'll sign up for your newsletter.
Great. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. You take care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Thanks for you for listening, and the book, Family Plots, Love, Death, and Tax Evasion by Mary Patrick Kavanaugh. Okay, till the next time, have a great week. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.